Hello, this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. Today we have some really interesting guests with us. In the first half, we're going to speak with Dr. Keith Moeller, and that's going to be Staying Silver Strong, all about silver. And in the second half, we're going to do a repeat with Reverend Connie Habash on Awakening from Anxiety. But first, here's Alan with the Health First News.
10% of COVID-19 patients with diabetes die within a week of entering the hospital, and 20% need a ventilator to breathe by that point, a new French study found. Researchers analyzed data on more than 1,300 COVID-19 patients with diabetes, average age 70, who were hospitalized in France during March. Of those, 89% had type 2 diabetes, 3% had type 1, and the rest had other types of diabetes. The study found that 1 in 5 patients had been placed on a ventilator in intensive care within 7 days of entering the hospital, 1 in 10 had died, and 18% had been discharged. The study was the first to investigate how COVID-19 affects patients with diabetes. The findings were published May 28th in the journal Diabetology. For men with advanced prostate cancer, a new hormone therapy pill works better than standard injections and carries a much lower risk of heart attack or stroke, a clinical trial has found. The drug, called Relugolix, is not yet approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. If it gets the green light, however, it would be game-changing, said Dr. Neil Shore, lead researcher on the trial. He is the medical director of the Carolina Urologic Research Center in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. The findings were scheduled to be published Friday in the New England Journal of Medicine and simultaneously reported at the virtual annual meeting of the American Society of Clinical Oncology. In a small French study, 3/4 of all COVID-19 patients admitted to intensive care went on to experience a dangerous blood clot in the leg that can travel to the lungs and potentially cause death. Known as a DVT, the condition first gained notoriety as so-called economy class syndrome when passengers on long-haul flights develop them after sitting still for too long. But the clots can be life-threatening, and the frequency at which they are showing up in COVID-19 patients is cause for alarm, experts say. Dr. Maja Zarek, a U.S. cardiologist who wasn't connected to the French study, said the new findings were quite astonishing. Zarek, a heart specialist at Lenox Hill Hospital in New York, said 65% of all admitted patients had evidence of lower extremity DVT upon admission, and 2 days later, that percentage increased to 79%. The new study was published online May 29th in JAMA Network Open. A new cruise ship study suggests that the number of people who are infected with the new coronavirus but have no symptoms may be much higher than believed. More than 80% of those who tested positive for the infection had no symptoms, according to the study published online May 27th in the journal Thorax. The findings could be important as lockdown restrictions begin to be eased, and they highlight the need for accurate data on how many people worldwide have been infected, Journal Joint Editor-in-Chief Alan Smythe said in a linked blog. The study focused on a ship with 128 passengers and 95 crew that left Argentina in mid-March for a planned 21-day cruise of the Antarctic. The voyage began after the World Health Organization had declared the new coronavirus a global pandemic.
We have Dr. Keith Moeller with us today, and he has almost 30 years working experience in the silver industry. Keith is a certified health practitioner, and he holds a doctorate in naturopathy. He also has co-authored many papers on silver, several of which have been peer-reviewed and published. During the last 18 years, Keith has been managing director and head of sales and marketing for American Biotech Labs. During this time, he's been working with top scientists in the world, as well as independent labs and university, on all the ways that we can use silver to better humanity. So it's so good to have you with us today, Keith.
Thank you. I appreciate being with you.
Could you tell us a little bit of the history of silver and how long humanity's been using it for all sorts of things?
Well, silver's been used for centuries, if not, you know, thousands of years for its medicinal properties. I mean, some of the earliest writings have denoted the use of silver for a lot of medical uses. From shaving stuff off and putting that in wounds to kill bacteria to, you know, even pioneers throwing silver dollars in their water bucket because as those wagons moved across the West, those silver dollars would move around inside their water barrels, and that micro amount of silver that scratched off those silver dollars would kill bacteria. And so they used it in milk pails because they found that milk would last a lot longer in silver pails. And my family owned a dairy way back in the 18 and 1900s, and they actually had silver milk pails, which you'd think would be really expensive, but if it makes the milk last a lot longer because it kills the pathogens that causes it to spoil, then, you know, it's a big deal.
Absolutely. Was it really expensive to have a silver bucket then, or was silver just very economical back when your family was farming?
Well, I think it's always had quite a bit of value. I mean, it's a lot more expensive than other metals.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that depends on what the cost is in sour milk and so forth.
Right,
so
yeah.
I've seen studies where milk, where the silver was just put in milk, regular milk,
mm-hmm.
and it lasted for weeks without refrigeration and never actually went bad. What happened in the end was it became yogurt because it kills the pathogenic bacteria and the probiotic bacteria continue to grow. And so what you get is after a few weeks, you get yogurt.
That's fascinating. At what point did humans start putting silver electrodes in water and just creating silver water?
For sure, at least by the late 1800s, they were manufacturing silver products. And I have some that came from my grandfather's time. But silver in those days was mixed with some pretty nasty stuff. They mixed it with mercury. They mixed it with, you know, some other products. They made silver products that had lots and lots of silver in them.
Mm-hmm.
So thousands of parts per million instead of what we use today, like 10. We have a product that's approved as an antimicrobial wound wash for hospitals and medical facilities, and it only has 10 ppm silver. But it can kill the nastiest of the bacteria like MRSA and VRE and the really infective, nasty bugs. And we kill them in minutes with only 10 ppm.
Wow. And so silver has been used in hospitals really for centuries now.
You know, I don't know how long hospitals have been around, but, you know, medicine type places.
Mm-hmm.
It's been used for centuries, for sure.
So, I mean, they used to drop silver silver water in the eyes of babies as soon as they were born and put silver on wounds for burns, especially for accelerating the healing of the tissue. So must have had the clinical studies many years. It's just not a new thing on the market.
Well, and I don't know so much about the clinical studies back then. I know a lot about them now
mm-hmm.
because we've done hundreds of studies, more than 400 major studies and test series with 70 different institutions. And we know exactly what our silver will do at certain levels. And we've been able to get stuff done, especially in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
We've been able to pull off some things that have never been done in the history of the world before. I mean, nobody has ever created an antimicrobial moisturizer,
mm-hmm.
something that could heal acne and eczema. I mean, literally, this cream will heal eczema usually within weeks, and you can see a difference in just days.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really big thing, to do things that nobody's ever accomplished before
mm-hmm.
and do them with products that are safe.
Yes.
That have no nasty chemicals in them that can meet spec with both major med groups and also with the naturopathic community and the naturalist type health store people. And I think we are really the only group that's been able to navigate those areas and come up with things that can really make a huge difference in people's lives.
So, Keith, can you consider any side effects? Like, silver has so many wonderful properties and it does so much. I don't know if it's folklore or if it's been scientifically, if there's been scientific data around it, but I've heard of, read about people turning blue from silver. Have you ever seen that in your 30 years?
Sure. The condition is called argyria.
Okay.
And argyria can only come from ionic forms of silver. It cannot come from metallic nanoforms of silver. It's only ionic or chemical form. Most of the products that are sold on the market are ionic forms of silver. And most of those you'll know because they mix it with a protein, or they call it stabilized, or they call it, you know, structured or something like that. And those products are actually ionic forms of silver. And even with those, they're very safe.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really abuse silver over years to be able to start the blue man effect. What happens is that if you have chemical forms of silver and you ingest them over a lot of years at huge levels, the silver can't wash out of your body fast enough. And because it can't wash out, your body is trying to do something with it. So what it does is it just walls it off in your cell. And it ends up being like a tattoo. You have to really work to get it. It's not an easy thing. And nobody just drinking, you know, a couple teaspoons or even an ounce of silver a day is going to be able to pull off getting in argyria. You can't do it. I know people that have drunk, you know, 30 ounces a day for years and never got it. But, you know, the good part with the nano silver that we create is that we showed in human clinical trials that it would wash completely out of your body in 24 hours
mm-hmm.
with no residual, meaning that they couldn't measure it.
Okay.
And so you could drink it, it goes in, does its job, washes out completely in 24 hours, and you can't get argyria from it.
So there's no way you can turn into a Smurf with yours.
You can't turn into Grandpa Smurf.
No.
You can't do it.
That's good. And there's, it sounds like there's really wisdom to the silver in that it knows how to leave beneficial bacteria, but can find the pathogens that are not beneficial. Is it like an antibiotic in that way, or is it actually clearing out all bacteria, good and bad, and then the good guys have to come back?
Okay, so now what we have to do is we have to have just a short discussion about types of silver. There are a lot of different types of silver. And so like ionic forms of silver, that's the chemical forms we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes called colloidal silver. It actually isn't a colloidal silver, but by misnomer they call it that, but ionic forms of silver will start to kill probiotic bacteria at about 2.5 ppm.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a number of those that will do it. Nanosilver, we have tests clear up to 40 ppm showing that it won't hurt the probiotic bacteria. Now, the difference is that probiotic bacteria actually have three cell wall layers. And they also have very little pull, meaning that the charge that's on a probiotic bacteria does not attract the silver to it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas pathogenic bacteria actually have a charge on the outside that pulls the silver to it. And they also have only one or two cell wall layers, so the silver penetrates them. So it isn't that the nanosilver is smart. It doesn't know the difference. It's just that in the makeup of it, natural
polarities,
stages,
yeah,
it just can't penetrate the probiotic bacteria. And so at the levels which we use it, we know it's safe and won't hurt it. The good news is that at the same time, we can show that as little as 1 or 2 ppm, we can kill really nasty bacteria, yeast, and fungus. And we have direct claims approved by both the U.S. and Canada on being able to kill those bugs with our silver products. Like our gel is approved as a wound care product to be able to to kill yeast and fungus and the nastiest of the bacteria, meaning stuff like VRE and MRSA. VRE is vancomycin-resistant Enterococcus faecalis, which is why they call it VRE. And MRSA is methicillin-resistant Staph aureus.
Wow.
And they just call it MRSA, but those are really deadly bugs.
Yeah.
And the good news is the silver kills them in literally just a couple of minutes.
Keith, we're going to have to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about nano silver.